Hi, this is Michael Clauser here. I've got another Bible lesson for you today. This is a kind of a complex one. It has to do with the spirit world. I'm going to be titling this Casting Out Spirits. Amen. So I'm going to begin reading in Acts chapter 19, but before we start there, I want you to recognize something, that this casting out of spirits and things, there may have been an indication of it in the Old Testament, but it was really a new covenant relationship. When Jesus came to the earth in the form of a human being, he was casting out spirits. And that's when the thing took off. That's when the thing got amazingly large. And it displayed the power of God for humanity. Jesus called himself a son of man. So he's saying, I'm human. And at the same time, he's a son of God. But the point is that his power to cast out demons was not a divine power in and of itself. It was a divine power given to human beings. So he's expressing himself as a human being with the power of God. And to me, that's what Christianity is all about. Expressing yourself as a human being with the power of God. Amen. You know, when we talk about mankind prevailing over spirits, we run into a bit of a problem, because not all mankind can address spirits the way a son of God can. But the point of it is, we're looking at mankind versus spirit, okay? Mankind versus the realm of the spirit. Amen. The thing I want you to take away from this study is that mankind in and of themselves does not have the power to address spirits. They have the power to talk to them and stuff, but they don't have the power to cast them out, to move them around. They don't have authority over spirits. It's only in Christ Jesus that mankind has power over the spiritual realm. And Jesus showed that to us in a beautiful way throughout the Gospels. Amen. Acts chapter 19, verse 11 begins, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body," Paul's body, "were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Verse 13, "Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt upon them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded." You might title this, What Not to Do When Casting Out Devils. And what they didn't do that they needed to do was absorb and become the name of Jesus. They couldn't just pull the name of Jesus out like it was your credit card or something and say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, we command you to get out of this person. The only way it works is when you have the heart of God in your heart, where you have Jesus in your heart, and it's not even you speaking against the spirits, it's the presence of God. You know, there's a scripture that says, in the name of Jesus. And here's these vagabond Jews. This simply means traveling Jews, wandering. We have the term vagabond means kind of destitute, perhaps. But vagabond Jews were just simply roaming about. And I imagine they, as in their roaming about, they encountered somebody's dealing with these exorcists. Somebody's dealing with spirits. And we want to find out who it is. And here's Paul. He said, look what Paul's done in exorcising Jews, or as an exorcising Jew. But Paul wasn't considered a Jew. He was considered a born-again believer. Amen. But they had seen the fact that Paul was casting out spirits. And so they said, they came across a spirit. They encountered a spirit. And they said, we command you to get out of this guy in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Big mistake. If they had said, we command you in the name of Jesus to come out in the name of Jesus, whose I am, whom I am. I'm the body of Christ right now. So let's look at this event. These Jews come across this guy. He's possessed with the devil, and they tell the devil to get out. And look what happens in verse 15. And the evil spirit answered. You know, the spirit was in this man, possessing this man, and they're telling this demon to get out of him, and the demon answers him, having a communication. And the evil spirit's ready to behave only if there's an authority over him. But if there's no authority over him, he's just going to run roughshod right over the top of you. And that's exactly what happened. He ran roughshod over these kids, over these seven sons of Sceva, busted them up, banged them up, and they had fled out of that house naked and beat up. The evil spirit prevailed. And this is the point I want you to get to, is that the evil spirits will always prevail over a human being. Doesn't sound nice, does it? A human being is going to be subject to a higher power of evil spirits. See, evil spirits have enough power to hold their own, so to speak. And human beings in and of themselves cannot overpower a spirit. That has to be sunk in our heads pretty strong, because spiritual power is more powerful than human power. But spiritual power is not more powerful than human and God combination power. Amen? Look at verse 16 again. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overcame them, and prevailed against them. That's the power source I want you to see. Evil spirits have power over people, but they do not have power over people of God. Amen? There's another scripture. It's in Psalms chapter 8 that describes this very case. Let me read it to you. It's in Psalms 8, beginning in verse 4. He says, "What is man? What is a human being? What is man, God, that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit with him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and you have put all things under his feet. All sheep, all oxen, yes, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatever passes through the paths of the sea. All these things God has given to humanity." But he places him, he says, "I've made you a little lower than the angels." Now, this word angels is a translation from the Greek word Elohim. And Elohim has to do with higher angels. This is higher power angels. This is very high power angels. And he's telling him, "I've made you a little lower than them, but you're above other angels in the heavenly realm." The main point of it is, you have made him a little lower than the high angels. Amen. The high office angels. So we take that knowledge with us, and we roll over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. In this account, we're going to look at how a spirit got a hold of this person and was dealing with him. And it was happening to this woman, and she did not have the power to get rid of it. Not until Jesus came on the scene. So, beginning at Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 11, reads, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed over together, and could not in any way lift herself up." Look at this. He said she has a spirit of infirmity, and she's had it for 18 years. Verse 12, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." The point of it is, she had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and little by little that spirit worked and worked and worked and built her backbone into a pliable thing, and had her bent over. So she was bent over. You know, I've seen this in the natural. I've seen where a person is, they're walking and they're bent at the hips, almost like facing the ground. Their head's kind of faces facing the ground, and they're bent over. And this is what this woman had for 18 years that had crippled her. And so she had no power to straighten herself up. So here we have the spirit making her bent over, and the human being does not have a power to straighten herself up. This is indicating that the power of the spirit is stronger than the human being. Human beings cannot bring salvation into their own lives. They don't have the power to. They need a savior. Every human being must come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that they have the power to overcome the spirits. Not only for power over a spirit that's attacking them directly, but because they have They need the power of God to overcome the spiritual world of darkness. The world of spiritual darkness. Now, Jesus is just establishing his name in the earth, so this woman could not come to those spirits within her and say, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to depart out of my body." Jesus had not established his name that powerfully amongst all the people yet. After the cross, he did. But up to this point, some of them didn't know. So Jesus comes across, has compassion on her, and tells her, straighten up. Boom, she's straightened up. This is a display of the authority of Jesus Christ over the spiritual realm. The Spirit caused it, and Jesus fixed it. Amen. And that, my friends, is an indication of life on planet Earth. Spirits cause problems, Jesus cures them. Amen. And so after Jesus heals this woman, here comes the rulers of the synagogue and saying, you don't do that kind of stuff here, not on the Sabbath day. Come back a different day, but not on the Sabbath day. And Jesus confronts them and says, you hypocrites, you loose your own donkey and you loose your ox to get them some water on the Sabbath day. Why can't this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, why can't she be loosed? He somewhat humiliated them. So how did Jesus cast out spirits? You know, there's a command where Jesus says, you shall cast out spirits, you shall speak with new tongues and all these things. And here's an account of Jesus dealing with the spirit that has put an infirmity on this woman, on her physical body. And he's going to show us how he did it. How did you cast this devil out, Lord? So the scripture we're going to go to is Matthew 12, 22. And he kind of summarizes this first verse to get to a further point. And that's the further point that we're wanting to look at. So he kind of summarizes all these events into one simple verse. Listen to it here now in Matthew 12, 22. Then was brought unto him, Jesus, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. He healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. What a curt summary. But that's not the point of this message. The point of the message is what happens next. So first of all, he says, a devil possessed this guy. He's blind and can't speak because of the devil's presence. Jesus deals with the issue, and the guy can see, and he can speak. He dealt with it spiritually, and the guy is remedied right away. Verse 23, and all the people were amazed and said, is this not the son of David? They were saying, this has to be the Messiah. This is the anointed one that was promised that would come. This has to be him. This has to be the son of David. He's anointed of God. Verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, ah, this fellow does not cast out devils, but except by the prince of the devils himself. He's working for Beelzebub. That's why he's dealing with these demons that way. So we see that the people recognized spiritual things happening in their lives. They recognized when there was a spiritual event happening, they were just powerless to deal with it. They probably saw this woman had been over 18 years with a spirit of infirmity and bowed over and couldn't stand up. They probably recognized the hand of a spirit in there, maybe not. Would you recognize it? Would you recognize the hand of an evil spirit if you saw somebody bent over like that? Or would you think, oh, he must have had a bad childhood, or he must have had osteostenosis or something. Forgive me, amen. And my remark is that even if he does have osteoporosis, God is the healer. Jesus, our healer. Amen. So the Pharisees are saying he's doing it because he's working for the devil. And Jesus knew their thoughts in verse 25 and said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out another part of Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Verse 27. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. Verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then know that the kingdom of God is come unto you. Jesus is saying, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, there it is. You can cast out devils if you have the Spirit of God within you. He says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, indicating that's where he gets his power, from the Spirit of God. Well, I thought Jesus had his own divine power. He did. He laid it aside and was dealing with humanity as a human.
Glory be to God. This is all stuff happening before the cross. Jesus said, I'm a son of man.
Verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then know the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So it's sort of like saying, when the kingdom of God comes on the scene, and the king within that kingdom, the God within that kingdom, who is being represented here by the Holy Spirit, then there is power within that kingdom, within the Holy Spirit, to deal with every other spiritual force in the universe. Amen. Who do you put your money on? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness? You see, this woman bent over with an spirit of infirmity for 18 years did not have the power. She did not know what to do. And she doesn't have the power. The power is in the kingdom of God. The power is in the Holy Spirit. The power is in Jesus Christ when he's anointed of God. That's where the power is. That's where you can say, Spirit, get out of this person in the name of Jesus. I am the name of Jesus. Jesus would be saying, Amen. So let me summarize for a moment here. We saw that Paul was using the name of Jesus and he was casting out spirits. And in so doing, he was exercising the authority of the kingdom. He was advancing the kingdom of God into the world. This is a key factor of all the things God does. He's wanting to advance his kingdom in the earth. Amen. So this is kingdom against kingdom. And the kingdom of darkness, let's go back to this concept of the seven sons of Sceva when they came across that spirit and dealt with him. They had the right words. They said, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Well, that doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because it's not within your heart. It is not within the seven sons of Sceva's heart that they had the authority. It was only their words. And there is not enough power in your words alone to accomplish casting out spirits. So we see what not to do. And what to do to accomplish a deliverance for somebody casting a spirit out of somebody. But for me, this isn't enough. I don't know what it is about what Jesus did. I feel sometimes like I'm not him. But at the same time, Jesus, as a human being, cast out spirits. So let's look at what actually was the point of demarcation, the point of acknowledging that we are aligned with God and therefore God power works through us, through our words, through the laying on of our hands. And for the case of the Apostle Paul, it was even aprons and little cloths that he could touch his body, touch their body, and healing would transfer through that cloth into the infirm human body to heal it. There's a key factor in Jesus' examples of how he cast out demons that we need to work in our lives as well. And here it is. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God have both come, and that's the power that's going to cast out demons out of these people. He said, I cast out spirits by the kingdom of God and by the Spirit of God. And here's how it worked for Jesus and didn't work for the sons of Sceva. And it worked for Jesus because he was in right relationship with God. It didn't work for the sons of Sceva because they were not in right relationship with God. So in my lightning fast mind, I recognize that I have to be in right relationship with God in order for God to work through me to cast spirits out. That relationship of righteousness with God or right with God is done by our believing God. It's a faith concept. It's a faith measure. You see, everything that we receive from God, we receive by faith in God. So faith becomes our connecting point to the divine realm. And then it's a matter of us following through in the physical realm with a new anointing or a new representation in the spiritual realm. So we will align with God's in the spiritual realm of our lives, and we align with God's Spirit working through us as we align our human lives to be in harmony with the spiritual life of God within us. Next scripture I need to get to is in Matthew 16, and we're going to begin reading at verse 13. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, thou art the anointed one, thou art the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it unto thee. So here Peter's receiving a revelation from the Father. They said, who do people say I am? Well, you're one of the prophets, maybe John the Baptist, maybe Jeremiah, I don't know, one of the prophets. And Peter says, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus, blessed art thou, Simon. You got it. That's exactly what it is. And this word blessed means empowered. So he said, you're empowered, Peter, because you've got this revelation from the Father. You're empowered now to accomplish things that you couldn't accomplish before. You see, human beings do not have the power to overcome spirits unless they're equipped by God. And so here's Peter. He just got blessed by God, empowered by God. So now he has a new level of authority over the spiritual realm. Look at verse 18, a key verse. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Did you catch that? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So if Peter has revelation knowledge from the Father, and he says, I command you to come out, command you spirit to come out of this person, he has the power of God when he says those words. And the gates of hell can't prevail against it. That's the power to cast out spirits. Jesus continues in verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And right away people are going to make a mistake, and they're going to say, oh, those must be like a lock on the door, and he has the keys to unlock the door. That is simply a physical interpretation of a spiritual truth. It's not going to get you power to cast out demons. You know, listen to this. If Jesus decides he's going to build his church, and he says, here's how it's going to happen. Anybody that has revelation from the Father, that will be the force and the power that's necessary to build a church, because it will be the force and the power necessary to overcome the demonic forces that are holding the church back. And if you live in righteousness with God Almighty, you will have the power working within you. But realistically, if Peter was the only one that had the keys, and he would call on Peter, hey, call Peter, have him come over here, unlock this gate over here. That's foolishness. He's saying, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. But he's not giving it to Peter as Peter. He's giving it to Peter as the Son of God, a son of man. And therefore, me as a son of man, as a son of God, I can have them same keys too. Don't think of them as physical keys unlocking physical doors. Listen, this event took place 2,000 years ago. You mean the church hasn't grown one iota since Peter died? No, he's not talking about Peter as the man. He's talking about the Peter that received revelation knowledge. You see, this whole spiritual world can only be overcome by a more powerful and more authoritative spiritual world. That's the kingdom against the kingdom. The kingdom of darkness is trying to prevail against the kingdom of light, and the kingdom of light will prevail over the kingdom of darkness. But we must be rightly aligned with that kingdom. We must be rightly aligned with the God of that kingdom, who is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I cast out demons by the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God. And in order for you to cast them out, you're going to have to align yourself with the kingdom of God and with the Holy Spirit in that kingdom. And when I say align yourself to them, I'm saying righteously align yourself with them. And when you align yourself righteous with God, and you enter into the conflict in the spiritual realm, the heavenly realm, you will be blessed, just like Peter was blessed, empowered to prevail in that warfare. You see, the things of God are not hidden from us. They're not to be kept away from us. They're for us to grow into and receive. Amen. Well, I think we've about run out of time for the day. I want you to recognize the hand of God in your life and see the hand of God in your life and ask God what you need to do to more rightly align yourself to the principles of God, more rightly align yourself to the Holy Spirit, more rightly align yourself
to the kingdom of heaven, for therein is the power to cast out serpents and scorpions and to cast out devils. Amen.